nefesh lebeis Yaakov haba mitzrayim ashivim. The pasuk says that there were 70 souls that came down together with Yaakov to Mitzrayim. So the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Kufchav Gimel asks, Bichlolon atamaitzi shivim, and Bifraton atamaitzi shivim chaserachas. That when the pasuk lists them in the general number, it says there were 70, but if you count them up, there are only 69. And for the Gemara, ta'ayma haisa imdina dichsi ve'as dina bitai. So the pasuk, the Gemara answers that there were 70 souls, but only 69 are listed, thank you, because ta'ayma haisa imdina, which means that Dina had a twin, and therefore the pasuk doesn't list them. Zokta Rashbam, tiyuma shenolda lelea shtei banais bekeras echad. That when Leah had Dina, she actually had twin daughters. That's how the Gemara answers the kasha. So this is an opportunity, I think, for us to speak about tonight the topic of twins in halacha. Subject that is dear to some people in the room. Specifically, we're going to concentrate on basically two areas, and that is the different procedures that are perhaps involved in the bris of twin boys. And the second part of this year, we're going to speak about something that is a fascinating subject, albeit tragic. And that is the question and the challenge that Siamese twins presents in halacha. As I say, this is a tragic situation. It's a freak of nature, and it's something that we should never be faced with. Anyone should not be faced with. But just as Siamese twins presents a medical challenge, it presents a halachic challenge as well. So those are the two areas which we're going to cover tonight. Before we get into specifically the area of the mila of twin boys, just want to mention, in case any of this may happen to any of you, the halacha is that if you ever have a baby boy born to you, a baby son, the halacha is you make the bracha of Hatayv HaMeitiv. Baruch Atah Hashem, Melachinu Melech Olam, Hatayv HaMeitiv. If you have a baby girl, you make the bracha You make it either at the time of birth or when you hear about it. If you have twin boys, then you make one bracha atayv ha-metiv. If you have twin girls, you make one bracha shechiyana. If you have twins that are a boy and a girl, Dr. Saltzman, then the halacha is, I heard Tzav B'Shem Rav Moshe Feinstein, that you make one bracha hatayv hametiv. So this is a mini. This is, you see, you only make one bracha when you have twins. This is not like the minig ha'ilam. Everyone thinks that they came up with this gevald gechap that when someone has twins, they go over and say mazel tov, mazel tov. Yeah, just what a gevald gechap. So from here you see, L'chaira, that one mazel tov is in fact sufficient. Now, what do you do when it comes to the mila of twin boys? L'sheish tazeh, obviously, you have to mal both of them. But the question is, we know that by a bris mila, we make a bracha of al hamila, we make a bracha of and we also make a bracha after the mila is performed of Akashakidesh Yidid Mi Bethem. The question is that when you have twin boys, do you make one bracha? Do you make two brachas? Do you mal them together? Do you mal them at different times? So this is a question that is dealt with by the Rishayim themselves. The Mordechai in Perakisi Adam and Mesech Dechulin brings a Rabbeinu Simcha, that the Rabbeinu Simcha paskins lahalacha, that even if by twin boys you use two mayalim, you're mechabed one mile with one and another mile with another. Nevertheless, the halacha is, Zokta Rabbeinu Simcha, you make one bracha for both babies. And one mile makes the bracha al hamila, and he's imaitzi the other one. The first mile makes the bracha al hamila, and he's maitzi the other mile in that bracha. After the second mile completes the second bris, the second mile makes the bracha of Asher Kideh Shedid Mi Beten, and he makes it for both babies. Azei Paskins, the Rabbeinu Simcha. Ba'af al-gav, deleka tinek sheni beveis hakneses kishamalin harishain, and even if, for instance, both babies would not be present when you made the bracha, but zokt Rabbeinu Simcha, mikomakom daite alzeh, but he obviously knows that he's going to have to perform two brisin, or two brisin are going to have to be performed, and therefore when he makes the bracha of al hamila, he has in mind that it should go on both babies, and that's the halacha ve'ein tzarech levarach shenis rak shelo yasiach das beintayim. One bracha for both babies. That means one bracha of al hamila and one bracha of asher kidesh in dimi betin. Precisely, Reb Shlomo, the Tashbeitz in Simen Chelik Beis, Simen Mem Beis, says that this halacha is true even if they're not twins. But if you are to perform two milas on the same day at the same time, even if they're not twins, Zok the Tashbeitz, precisely the same thing, that you make one bracha for both babies. And he says that the chain nahagti ani bekan bishnei yilorim bodes meretz gzeira arelim. I had a situation where two children were bought into my kehila. They were not twins. They weren't even brothers. They were both arelim. V'nimaylu ke'echad bebracha achas. I paskin that you make one bracha for both babies. V'chein shamati shenoigin kein b'harbi mekaymais. And that's the way I heard that a lot of people are noyeg. The only thing that he says is that what do you do when you get to the bracha of Elokeinu, it's not a bracha really, but the tefillah, Elokeinu ve'elokei aveisenu, kayim es hayelad hazeh lo'aviv ule'imai. So the Tashbeit says that because he knows that mothers would be opposed, that I should have one cup of wine and one Elokeinu ve'elokei aveisenu, kayim es hayelad hazeh lo'aviv ule'imai. Therefore, he says, this is a concession that he makes, you can take two kaisas of wine and say Elokeinu ve'elokei aveisenu twice, and name them individually. In other words, you don't have to be economical in that. You don't say v'kayem es hayolodim ha'elu le'imam v'yikaru shmei b'Yisrael, and you don't do it. That you do two separate things, and that's tam because you want to give the bracha to them as individuals. La'halacha l'maise, it also seems that this is a clear-cut case, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Reisa Machei Sif Hey, Mishiyesh lo shnei tinaikas lamul, Yivarach bracha achas lishneihem. The Mechaber paskins, you make one bracha for both babies. Vafilim shnayim malim, even if you have two mayalim. Yivarach al hamila, vayla gam lisheni. The first mayal makes al hamila. Vahasheni yivarach asher kideh shenid mi beten. And it works for both. And the Ramah is maskim. The Ramah paskins like this as well. That means both Ashkenazim and both Sfarim. L'chara noy like this. The Ramah merely adds, Avolim soch ben tayhim, or but this only helps. When does one bracha help? If you make it for, and you don't talk in between. That's the Ramah says. You have to make one bracha and you can't talk. Which means, farshteitzach, you can talk things that have to do with the mila. You can say, bring me the cup of wine, or you could say, who's the sandik? Anything that's mila related does not constitute a hefsik. But the halach, but if you're not mafsik, then you make one bracha. The Tashbeis, as we mentioned already, paskin this, and the Tashbeis brings a raya to this from a very common halacha, albeit it's somewhat squeamish tustel, because he says, what is this analogous to? The case of a person who shechs. If he shechs 100 behemoths in one day, he makes one bracha l'kulam. You shech 500 eifis in one day, you make one bracha for all the birds. So zokter poshet, if you mal three kids on the same day, you make one mila, just like you make by shechita. Azei zok, the Tashbeis, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's how the Ramah paskins. Eh? Well, not you're not supposed to talk, you're supposed to, not talk shalom in yani hamila. And the Ramah just adds that the father, if this is in fact a twins, then the father of the baby should make the bracha of lahachmisam bevrisai shel Avraham Avinu. Azei paskins the Ramah. It would at most be a bracha shen etzricha. Now, however, the Shach over here brings an opposing daya. The Shach over here in Yeridaya brings the shita of the Baal Ha'itur, that the Baal Ha'itur says, V'heicha d'icha l'etrei yinuka l'mimo, mistavra li, kevan d'olei esher l'mim halinu kechada, gufan mechulokin ninhu. Paskins the Baal Ha'itur, no. You have to make two brachas for both babies. Why? The Baal Ha'itur says, because since you cannot mow both babies simultaneously, therefore one bracha can't help for both. So it's no tzustel that the Tashbeit springs from Shechita. Because by Shechita, the halacha is, you can in fact shech two behemoths or two eifes simultaneously. But by Mila, where we all know that you cannot mow them simultaneously, there, Zokti, the Baal Ha'itur, you have to make two brachas. Now, what the Baal Ha'itur left unexplained was, what does it mean you can't mow them simultaneously? What does that mean? Why not? And if you had two mayalim, you couldn't do it simultaneously? So what does the Baal Ha'itur mean? Since you can't mow them simultaneously, therefore you have to make two brachas. So I found a very nice Maram Shik. The Maram Shik in Yeridaya and Simon Reish Nun is Masber this Baal Ha'itur. And he's Masber it with their very famous Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is in Simon Kuf Mem Zayin. Kuf Mem Zayin is Hilchus Kriyas HaTorah. What's the Magen Avraham come to talk about Mila there? Because the Magen Avraham is talking about what do you do when you have two Sifrei Torah. You have to lay out a two Sifrei Torah. So the Magen Avraham says, we take out both Sifrei Torah at once. So the Magen Avraham says that Be'emesin, this runs into a problem. This is a halachic issue. And that's the issue of a very famous Gemara Masechta Shaita, Gemara Masechta Moed Katan, and that is the Shaila of Ein Eisen Mitzvahs Chavileis Chavileis. The halacha is you cannot do mitzvahs literally in bunches, which means we do not have assembly line milas. And that's why the Brisa says in Masechta Shaita, Ein Mashkin Shtei Shaitas Ka'achas. You do not let two saitas make them drink simultaneously. The ein orphan shtei agolas ka'achas. You do not chop off the neck of the egla rufa two at once. The ein reitzim shnei avonim ke'achad. You do not pierce the ear of two avonim at the same time. The ein mitaren shnei mitzorayim ka'achas. Lefi she'ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Which means we do not mass produce mitzvahs. Or as Rashi says in Masechta Saita, Shalo Yehei Olav Kamasui. We do not want to give the appearance that mitzvahs are something to be done. One, two, three, you want an assembly line process. If you want to make automobiles, that's very good to go ahead and do an assembly line. But mitzvahs are not automobiles. We want to give them each one its own care and own concern and own consideration. Therefore, we do not do two mitzvahs simultaneously at the same time. We do not give two sotas to drink, etc. Now the Magen Avraham, without going into the technicalities of the Gemara in Saita, but the Magen Avraham shows that there is a basic machlekes between the Rambam and Taisvis as how do we apply this halacha. Taisvis's shita in Masechta Saita is that the main hakpada, the main concern, the main problem with doing two things at the same time is you're not allowed to bring two saitis into the Beis HaMikdash at the same time and then do one after another. That's what looks like a production. You line them both up and then you do them one after another. But Taisvis says if you want to employ two kohanim and let the two kohanim do it at the same time, that's perfectly all right. But to have one kohen do it, one after another, while lining them both up at the same time, that's Tosfos holds is a problem of Enes and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. The Rambam Shita is punkt lehepach. To line up two sitis at the same time and to let one kohen do them one after another, Zokta Rambam, that's not a problem of Enes and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. You're doing them one after another. Ah, you brought them up and lined them up at the same time? We don't care about that. But Zokta Rambam, to do them simultaneously, even al yidei two kohanim, that looks like an assembly line. That you're not allowed to do. So according to the Rambam, two kohanim cannot perform two mitzvahs simultaneously, but there's no problem with lining them up together and having one kohen and doing one after another. According to Tosfos, it's punkt lehepach. You can have two kohanim doing them simultaneously. We just won't want them lined up together and having one kohen perform them one after another. Zokt the Magen Avraham that lefi zeh the halacha will be v'hinei l'harambam muter l'havi shnei tinaikis b'vasachas v'lomul zeh achar zeh. Getting back to the ranch, it's mutter to bring both babies into the shul and let one male mouth them one after another, because even though you're bringing in the minute at the same time, since you're mouthing them one after another, that's not a problem. Masha Ein Kain, according to Tosfos, you could not bring in both babies at the same time and then do one and then the other. But if you wanted to bring them both at the same time and have two Moyalim do them simultaneously, that would be all right. Zok the Magen Avraham, that's why we take out two Sifrei Torah and we lane from them one after another. Why? Because according to the Rambam, that is no problem of Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. There's never a problem with bringing out two things. It's with doing them simultaneously. By Kriyas HaTorah, we bring them out and we lane them one after another. But, and therefore, by Mila, according to the Rambam, you could bring both babies out. The only thing you shouldn't do is mouth them simultaneously. Therefore, Zokt, the Maram Shik, beautiful. That's what the Baal HaYitr means. When the Baal HaYitr says that we cannot make one bracha on both babies because milas can't be performed simultaneously, he's saying, because according to the Rambam Shita, that you cannot do two milas at the same time, therefore, Zokta Baal HaYitr, that's why both brachas can't go on both babies. Because when I make the bracha on baby number one, the bracha couldn't go on baby number two because it would be usher to perform the mila at that moment. Therefore, that's what the Baal HaYitr means. Since milas cannot be performed at the same time, therefore, Zokti Baal HaYitr, the bracha can't go on both babies, and therefore you have to make two separate brachas. Masha'in Kain, the Shulchan Aruch is going with Tosfos' Shita, that two brisin could be performed by two ma'alim simultaneously. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch will paskin that you do in fact make one bracha for both babies. Ay Shita, Zok Demarim Shik, and Azei Zok Tosfos in Masechta Saita, Shita is a mitzvah kiyumis, and by mitzvah kiyumis there's no problem of Enos and mitzvah chavilas chavilas. So we have now, it's not a milsit of Shita. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam paskin one bracha for both babies. The Baal HaYitr paskins two brachas. Zok the Shach, that the Bach brings, that the minig is to make two separate milas and two separate brachas. The Shach says it's a good idea, because everyone agrees that if you talk anything which is not part of the meal of process, it bribes the hefsik. So the Shach is saying that it's almost inevitable that from the time you perform the first meal until the time you perform the second meal, somebody's going to talk, the mile's going to talk, and therefore you should in fact make two brachas. And the Pshach lived even before the days of the video camera. I mean, the directions that now you have to instruct the guy what to take and when to take, that certainly would bribe a hefsek. So the halacha l'maisa is, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins to make one bracha, the Ramah paskins to make one bracha, halacha, normative practice is that when we have twins, we make two separate ceremonies. We do not bring both babies at the same time. We, in fact, try to talk extraneous things between milas to make it that you should, in fact, need two brachas, and we make two separate milas, two separate brachas, even if we use only one wife. No problem. No problem. Now, that is, as I said, the first part of the shir. The second part of the shir is, as I said, fascinating but tragic. And it begins with a tshuva from the Shvus Yankiv. The Shvus Yankiv in Chelek Aleph Siman Dalid says that it was brought in front of him Shnei Noarim, two babies, Goyim, Ta'aimim Zecharim, two male baby twins, Shadvukim Sebozeh Kod Kod Rasheim, which were attached at the head. And he goes on to explain that they were two separate babies. They had all of their separate avarim. They had all limbs separate. They ate separately. They drank separately, except they were attached at the head. Said from behind, it looked like a person with one huge head, but in the front you could see that there were two faces, two mouths, two noses. They shared, of course, they only had two ears between the both of them, and they were attached at the head. So the person who brought this to the Shvus Yankiv declared what would their status be in halacha if in fact they were Jewish. As they declared the Shvus Yankiv. So the Shvus Yankiv brings, he says, such a situation, even though it's not the same, is mentioned by a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos clears a shaila, Mishi yesh lo shnei roshim, on which head does he put on tefillin? If a person has two heads, which head does he put the tefillin on? This is not recommended for a bar mitzvah drasha, I may add. So the Gemara says that it never, the Gemara makes light of it. Such a thing never happened. It's impossible. In fact, Taisus in Masechta Menachos says that Ba'olam Hazeh Leka, that in this world, no such thing ever happened. Taisus, however, brings a Yesh B'Medrash. Taisus brings a medrash with Ashmedai Melech Hashedim. We've all heard of the famous Ashmedai. Hotzi mitachas karka adam echad sheish lo shnei roshim. He went ahead and Ashmedai produced such a barrier of somebody with two heads. And then this guy got married and he had a child, Vaita, with two heads. And then he had another child with only one head. So he had, in fact, two children, one with two heads and one with one head. And Taisus continues that they came in front of Shlomo HaMelech because the guy with two heads wanted to get two-thirds of the Yerusha. And this was the Solomonic issue that Shlomo HaMelech had to paskin. That's Yesh B'Medrash. The Shvus Yankiv says, I don't know if such a thing can happen. Taisus says it can happen. But that's not our case over here. Our case over here is something where we have two individuals
Siamese twins, two goofim. We know that it can happen. So the shaila is, do they have a status in halacha of one person or of two people? So the Shmus Yankiv brings a raya from a pasuk in Chumash that Siamese twins have all the halachas of two people. What's the raya from the pasuk in Chumash? From Mice, very good. From Mice Bereishis. Because we know from the Saira that Adam and Chava were in fact stuck together at creation. They were two patsufin, as the Gemara tells us, and yet the pasuk refers to them Zachar unikeva bar plural, or Vayikra Shemam Adam. So therefore Zokti Shmus Yankiv, there's no shaila that in halacha Siamese twins have a halacha of two individuals. Therefore, he paskins that both are chayiv and tefillin. He paskins that here there's no question, legabi the Yerusha, they're considered two individuals, and they will, in fact, take two portions in the Yerusha. Who's the Bechor? They split that, because it's they're both Bechor. If a person, I don't know if this is genetically possible, can you have Siamese twins out of different sex? You know, well, the Shmus Yankiv says that if you had Siamese twins out of different sex, you would be Mekayim Puravu with one shock, because you have a Zachar and a Keva. That's all Poshet. Then he goes and says that Siamese twins are not allowed, Siamese twin boys are not allowed to get married for a poshet a chesbon. Because if one of them marries somebody, when it comes to tashmish amish mita, when it comes to the marital act, they're both going to be there, obviously. And he says there is a chashash that the non-married brother, a very prevalent chashash, will want to have tashmish amita intercourse with the woman who is an eshesish, and therefore, because of that very prevalent chashash, it's forbidden for them to get married. So far, so good. Then the Shmus Yankiv says something that is amazing. He says, if you have Siamese twin girls, b'makom shenayhagin lisa shtei nashim, in communities where the minig is that you're allowed to marry two wives, polygamy is permitted, like by the Spartan. So theoretically, you could marry, he's saying, both of them. And here there's no problem of a chashash of eshes ish. He says, but it's usher to do that, because it's usher l'shamesh bifnei ben Adam. Because the halacha is, it's forbidden, it's an isser chomer, to have intercourse in front of another human being. Amen. So memeila zokt the Shmus Yankiv, you know why you cannot marry the Siamese twins, even b'makom shenayim shtei nashim? Barvas? Because you cannot have tashmish hamita in front of the other one, even though they're both married to you. So this one line of the Shmus Yankiv caused immense consternation to many, many paiskim, as it is to you. Because what on earth is he talking about? What's he saying? Well, you can marry two women, so therefore you can marry Siamese twin sisters, but you're not allowed to marry two sisters. That's an erva. It's mind-boggling. What does he mean? So some people want to say that what he means is you only marry one of them. But that doesn't make any sense, because then what does he have to tell me? So none less a personage than Rabbi Kiveger himself was bothered by this Shmus Yankin. The Pardis Yosef brings in Parshas Bereishis that in a city called Lusk, there was a copy of the Shmus Yankiv in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Akiveger happened to come through town. He opened up the Shmus Yankiv. He saw this statement from the Shmus Yankiv, and on the Gilyon, in that Shmus Yankiv, he wrote a Haggah, Tzarechi, and what's he talking about? You can't marry two sisters. It's an erva. So Rabbi Akiveger was bothered by it. So this Kasha, and the Shmus Yankiv produced some very fascinating teirutzim. Rabbi Yosef Shaul HaLevi Natanson, the Mechaber of the Shaul HaMeshiv, who in his day was perhaps the biggest maskim of Svarim. Anyone who wrote a sefer came to Rabbi Yosef Shaul for a haskama. So in a later edition of the Shmus Yankiv, there's printed a haskama of Rabbi Yosef Shaul on the Shmus Yankiv. But in those days, Vaisdais, they used to read the Sfarim before they gave haskamas. So he says in Simon Dalet, he says, I don't know what he's talking about. How can you marry two sisters? So Rabbi Yosef Shaul wants to say a fantastic teretz. And that is like this. Because the halacha is that two sisters, even though they're erva, you're not allowed to marry two sisters, but there is one way that two sisters are different than any other erva. Every other erva, once I'm usher to that person, I'm usher to all the ervas forever. For instance, if a person marries a woman, his mother-in-law is usher to him. If he divorces his wife or his wife dies, the mother-in-law bribes the usher. If you marry a brother, so the brother-in-law is usher to you. Even if the husband dies, the brother-in-law is still the same usher. But the halacha is, because of the pasuk, shtei achiyos are only usher b'chayehen. When one of them dies, you married a sister, Rachmon said she died, then you can marry her sister after this, because it says b'chayeha. The Pischei Tshuva in Evan Ha'ezer, Simon Tesvav, brings from a tshuva sefer called Magid Meireshis from Reb Chaim Alpandri that wants to be mechadish the following chiddush, that if you were married to a woman and the woman developed a brain tumor, a kum nikiv kum shal mayach, and therefore she has the status of a trefa, a person who's terminally ill, the halachi is trefa in achaya. So he wants to be mechadish that once already one of the sisters is a trefa, you can already marry her sister, because it's no longer called b'chayeha. So memela zok Rabbi Yosef Shaul, the Gemara says, and he brings a raya from the Gemara needed to this, and Dafkav Gimel, we won't go into the raya. But the Gemara said, for instance, in Menachos, that a person who has two heads is a treif and is going to die. So Rabbi Yosef Shaul assumes that Siamese twins are all treifus because they're not going to be able to sustain life. So Menela, when you're marrying the sister, you're in fact marrying a treifa. So Menela, since she's a treifa, so Menela, you can already marry her sister because she's already considered in halacha as though she can't live. It's not called b'chayah. That's how Rabbi Yosef Shaul wants the farem for the Shmus Yankiv. So everybody jumps on him, because number one, it's impossible to accept. The woman's live and kicking, and you're telling me that she's not called b'chayeha, she's already dead. I mean, it's dumber that the Seichel won't accept. Number two, the Rai that he brings from the Sechta Nida, they show that the Rai is punkfakert, so that Teretz is Nishkin Teretz. But we're left with the problem of what does the Shmus Yankiv mean? So the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, wants to say what Rabbi Herschel already was mechavan to.
He says, Farsetzach, the Shus Yankov didn't lose his mind. And of course we know that two achias are usher. But what was the case that he was dealing with? He was dealing with a Siamese twins who he said were goyim. So what he's clearing is, what would be b'chiyai gavna if they were Jewish? I.e., if such a pair were to be megayer. If they were to convert, the two Siamese goyish sisters were to convert, we know the halacha is what? Gershin is gayer. Hekotin shenayla dami. So mela all erva stops. It's as though they're not even related anymore. That's what the Shvus Yankiv meant. That if these girls were to be Megayer, and therefore they didn't have a din of sisters, so b'mokim shenaisim shteinashim, you think you could marry them? No, you can't, because l'maisa, it would be prohibited to have tashmish amita with them, because you can't have tashmish amita in front of another human being. That's what the Shvus Yankiv meant. If you have a better pshat, we're all ears. Now, just in the time remaining, I just want to speak out one more tshuva. And this tshuva is a raya for siyata d'shmaya. When a person has to say a shir for such a chashav a rabim, you get siyata d'shmaya. I know there's a very famous, celebrated case that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was asked a question b'negeya Siamese twins. This was mentioned that his levaya was written up in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I wanted to see what Rav Moshe said, but I had no way of getting the tshuva. So I asked Ricky Goldenberg, a younger man, does he know where this tshuva was ever written? So he said, no, he didn't know. But someone overheard our conversation, Meir Birnbaum, also Jungerman, and he told him that this tshuva was written as Sefer Zikaron that MTJ put out L'Zecher Nishmas Rav Moshe. But I could not find this Sefer. So I happened to mention to my good friend Rav Shraga Neuberger that there's a tshuva about this Sefer in the MTJ journal, but I have no way of getting it. So he said he knows a guy in Detroit who learned in MTJ, he for sure, Mordechai Walmark, he for sure would have the Sefer. He calls him up, lo and behold, he has the Sefer. But it's 9 o'clock Wednesday night. Vos geht min tam? Facts. So the Shaila is like this. Again, it's a tragic situation. Ramesha was asked, this is a Maisa Shahaya with a not only a Jewish couple but a Frum couple who had Siamese twins. The Siamese twins shared one heart and one lung, one heart and one liver. So the doctors determined that if they would leave them as such, both of them would die. Not only that, this I didn't know, so much I had heard Balpeh, but more than that, one of the babies was dependent totally on other organs of the other baby, which means one of the babies could have never lived. Which means even if they were to perform an operation, they did not have a choice of which one should we give it to, because one of the situation was such that one of the twins was was clinging very, very tenuously to life, could not have a sustained life on its own, was in fact dependent on the sibling. So we have a situation over here. Ramesha was asked such a shaila, dinei nefashas mamish, can you in fact kill the other baby, separate them, give the heart and liver to the child that is well, but in the process kill one of the twins? That was the shaila that Rav Moshe was asked. Rav Moshe paskined the shaila, and Rav Moshe paskined that they were allowed to in fact kill the other baby, That means not kill, in other words, perform the operation, take away the heart, give it to the other baby, and in fact, that baby died. The other baby. Rav Meisha, this is not a tshuva from Rav Meisha Feinstein. This is a tshuva that was written by Rav Meisha Feinstein's son-in-law, Rav Meisha David Tendler. The tshuva over here is not what he heard from Rav Meisha, but the tshuva over here is what he surmised to be Rav Meisha's lomdus. We know the psak from Rav Meisha. The psak from Rav Meisha was to go at him to do it. Why? What's the lomdus? So this over here in this article, he speculates. And he has two drachim. We don't have time to go into both of them. But briefly, I'll just go into one of them. Rav Meisha, in fact, ruled that the other baby, the baby that was less well, that was the sickly baby, had the din of a reidef. Which means, we've talked about this on many occasions, that if a person is, the halach of pursuer, if a person is running after another person to kill them, you're allowed to kill the pursuer. Rav Meisha Paskin, that other baby has the halacha of a reidef, a pursuer, because it's endangering the life of the other twin. The Ad Kan Divrei Rav Meisha. Zokt Rav Meisha Tendler, what is the case that is analogous to this? The case that is analogous to this is the famous Mishnah in which we paskin the halacha of Ha'isha HaMekasha Lele. The halacha is that if a woman is on the delivery table and she's having trouble, and it's a question of either her, the baby is threatening her life, the fetus is threatening her life, so the halacha is that you abort the fetus and you kill the fetus because the fetus has a halacha of a reidef. The Mishnah, however, says that that's kol zman that the fetus has not come out into the world. Once it's yotze la'avir ha'olam, but once the fetus comes out of the womb, then the halacha is we don't do anything and we let nature take its course. Ve'ein deichen nefesh mivnei nefesh. So Rabbi Tendler wonders. We know that inside, in utero, we do see this halacha of a reidef. But here we have two living babies that were kvar yotze la'avir ha'olam. And in that situation, l'chaira, the halacha says you can't do anything. Where do we see documented that a fetus has a baby has a halacha of a reidef when it's in utero, when it's still inside the mother? That's where the halacha is clear. But over here, it's two nefashos. They deichen nefesh b'vnei nefesh. So Rabbi Tendler wants to suggest that over here, this case is still analogous to the mother and the baby. Why? Because since the second baby was dependent totally for life on the other baby, that is tantamount to a fetus which is in utero. Just like a fetus in utero, the one that's behind it, he suggests, is because since this fetus does not have independent life on its own, it's dependent totally on the mother, and it is endangering the life of the mother, therefore it has a halacha of a right if you're allowed to kill it. So too, even though the other twin was already yotze la'avir ha'olam, but as we said, the metzius was, it was impossible to sustain life in and of itself, therefore it was exactly like the case of the baby in utero, and that's why it had a halacha of a reidef, and that's why l'maisa r'maisa paskin to you're allowed to kill it. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like it from the Lashon and the Rambam. He suggests a different pshat, which we don't have time to go into, which I think, in fact, is a bigger chiddush. But the psak was a psak. R'maisa paskin in this situation, you were allowed to kill the other baby. The final outcome of this tragic situation was they did in fact kill the other baby, they performed the operation, and then in fact the first baby, the other baby, died as well after all of that. But as I said at the beginning of the shiur, Siamese twins, just like it presents a tremendous medical challenge to the medical community, we see that it presents also a challenge to the halachic community. But let us end with the words of the Shvus Yankiv, Brahmana l'shazvinhu mikol bria mishuna, that the Ribbono Shel'olam should save us from ever having to deal with any of these shailos l'maisa, and only perhaps in a theoretical sense. Tonight, I would like to say over a maisa to be masber a pasuk in Chumash. This is a maisa shahaya. This is a maisa that in fact happened, and I had it verified by the person with whom it happened to. So this is a true story. Rabbi Wein often says on his tapes that all of his stories are true. There are just some that have happened already and some that are going to happen. But this is a true story, and it is in fact happened. And I met the person with it happened to. There's a very famous kasha that all the Mefarshim ask. Everybody's bothered by it. The pasuk says in this week's parsha that after Yosef had had this dialogue that has been lasting over the last couple parshas with his brothers, and finally he goes ahead and he breaks down and he admits to them and he says, "Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai." Yosef asks his brother, "Is my father still alive?" So all of the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean, ha'oid avichai? For the last week and a half, we've been talking about my father, v'yarati b'seivas, they're telling about the old father, and if they cause him agmas nefesh, he's going to die. The whole vikuach has been the father. Then Yosef turns around and he says, ha'oid avichai. I mean, what are you talking about? We've been talking about the father for the whole time. So I want to say a teretz on this kasha for the Maisa Shahaya. Well, earlier this year I had the opportunity to speak at the Torah Maser convention. And I spoke on the topic of what makes a great mechanech, what makes a great teacher. And one of the points that I brought out is that the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah that a teacher must love his students. Ki elu habanim. That one thing to be an effective Rebbe, to be a good teacher, you cannot merely be a teacher. You in fact have to be in loco parentis. You have to be like a parent. And just like a parent loves his children, the Rambam says, Talmidim Eilu Habonim. You have to love your students as though they were your own children. So I pointed out that perhaps in generations gone by, it was difficult to understand what was meant by teachers having to love their parents, by teachers having to have to love their students. But today we have a new aspect, a new deher in that. Because Nebuch Bavaneseinu Harabim, society being what it is, we have so many children from broken homes, from homes that parents sometimes don't care about their children, homes that children don't get any love, homes that parents are so busy making money, working 12, 14, 16 hours a day, parents think that love is giving your child a Mercedes for his 16th birthday. That's not love. Love is spending the time and being there. And today we have a generation of children that are pashut starving for love. That they're looking for love in the classroom.
that a job that was left to the parents to provide a pat on the back, perhaps a hug, that falls now to the teachers because nobody's home, literally. And that's what the Rambam means. You have to love children. There was once a teacher who had a student in his class who was from a broken home, but more than just a broken home. A home where the father had in fact deserted the mother and the children. Left. Gone. Child never heard from his father after that. And this is the type of kid that causes teachers a lot of problems. The child is totally turned off to everything. And the teacher tried everything. He tried being warm to the kid. He tried threatening the child. He'd had the child over. He did everything. Tried to involve the child. Nothing helped. Child just sat there. And is unfortunately the case with teachers, you just have to say, well, write this kid off. Put him in the back of the class. As long as he doesn't disturb anybody else, let him sit there. What he'll get, he'll get. What he doesn't get, he doesn't get. I gave it my best shot. There's nothing more I can do. And that's what happened. They're going through the year, the child sitting there, vegetating. They come to Parshas Vayigash. Maisa Shehoya. They're learning Parshas Vayigash. They go through the whole dialogue. They get to the Pasuk, Vayomer Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Avichai. I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? The Rebbe throws out the question to the student, which I just asked you, what's Yosef talking? Ha'oid Avichai. The whole time we've been talking about my father, my father, my father. What is Yosef wondering now? Is my father still alive? That kid, from the back of the classroom raises his hand and he says, I know what the pshat in the pasuk is. He says, you know what Yosef was asking? He was saying, I know your father's still alive, but Ha'oid Avichai, is my father still alive? Has my father given up on me? I've been away from home. I've been in a strange land. I've been in a foreign land. Ha'oid Avichai, is my father still alive? That's what Yosef wanted to know. Is there still a father that cares about me? Is there still a father that is interested in me? Is there still a father that hasn't given up on me? That's what it means. Ha'oid Avichai. That child was not only asking Yosef Shaila, but he was asking his own Shaila. Ha'oid Avichai. And sometimes we have children that in different ways, in different forms, are asking, is my father still alive? Does my father still care about me? And we have to listen to questions like that. Ha'oid Avichai.
Now, it is easier than ever to order additional tapes by Rabbi Fran. You may do so in four convenient ways. By phone at 410-358-0416. By regular mail to the Yad Yechiel Institute, Post Office Box 511, Owings Mills, Maryland, 1-877-211-0511 or by email at tapes@yadyechiel.org, or you may visit our website at www.yadyechiel.org and order online from our secure site using your credit card. While there, you can view the entire library of Rabbi Fran's tapes. Thank you.